that this is that season for the territory. We ask that as we labor through partnership this morning, we will be helped in understanding. Send us your spirit, not in waters, but as a flood this morning.
Amen.
We give you praise and glory. In Jesus' name we have prayed.
Amen.
You may please be seated. Thank you, sir. So you play a little bit lower so that I can join. Good morning, church. Now, for time's sake, because we'll be out of here before 8, I want us to labor for the next maybe 50 minutes or 1 hour in the Word. Then we begin to pray and trust Jesus. So if you have your Bibles, you can come with me to Zechariah chapter 10, verse 1. If you want to give this, my short discourse, a topic, you can call it partnering in the season of the rain. Partnering in the season of the rain. Partnering in the season of the rain. Zechariah 10:1. Ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain, so the Lord shall make bright clouds and give them showers of rain to every one grass in the field. I'm going to read again. Ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain, so the Lord will make bright clouds and give them showers of rain to every one grass of the field. May the Lord bless the reading and the hearing of his words. So we'll journey in this one verse of scripture for the next 1 hour. If you have been studying your Bible, and I want to encourage that every time you are gifted the privilege to teach from scriptures, you labor into a background study. Now, this echo was not there yesterday. You labor into a background study of the verse of scripture that you are using. It's very essential. The request was from Zechariah that they should ask for the rain. So there are certain things that are in the possession of God, but of these things God will not give until there is somebody to ask. Are you getting my point? There are certain blessings or mercies from God that are characterized as general mercies. For example, is this daylight already? Okay, 6:30. How many of you prayed that the sun should rise this morning? So, the rising of the sun is characterized under what we call general mercies. Even if all of us, if we lied before we went to sleep and we didn't bother to ask God for forgiveness, the sun will still come out. Because the rising of the sun, the physical sun, is not under your allocation of partnership. The sun operates a program that is within itself. You come out at this time, you set at this time. Are you with me? The invasion of God into a campus, or if you like, on general terms, the entrance of God into a territory does not operate with that kind of program. So, if you want God to expression on your campus, there must be a man to ask. Amen. In case there's something that has been going on in your biological family or your extended family, you have noticed a pattern that is expressing contrary to what you find in scriptures, whether it was prophesied or it was inherited, if you want to change that pattern, God must find someone in that home who is willing to activate Zechariah chapter 10 verse 1, and the assignment of that person will be to ask. However, practice has showed us that one asking is not enough. So, if in the next few minutes we begin to pray and we say to God, oh God, come down and begin to express yourself in our campus, God will hear, but will not come. Because one asking, when it regards entrance of a spirit into a territory, one asking is not enough. As a matter of fact, there is the act of asking, and there is what we call the posture of asking. There are two things. I wish I had like 10 hours to teach, but since we are recording, try and listen again and again. There is the act of asking, there is the posture of asking. So when you have finished praying, seeking God to come into the campus, you will still need to live your lives like people who are seeking God to come. It means there are things that you will be doing that will sustain your prayer posture before God. For example, okay, we don't have a cup inside church. Who came with a bottle or something? Okay, I can use any example. If you have a vessel, maybe you know, it's a little cold this morning. Okay, they said yes. If we begin to serve tea now, the availability of tea will not make you positioned to receive tea. Because what's your name? Thank you. What's your name? Regina. The reason is because if we bring a drum of tea now, did you come to church with a cup? Did you come with a cup? Because you don't have a cup. We say if you don't ask for tea, you will not get. In case you had a cup, what do we say is, I want tea. But your cup must be outstretched. There are many people. So if we ask God to send us revival, for example, which is what every land needs at basic levels. Because what was foundationally lost in every land that gifted the enemy access to the land is not light, it's life. In John chapter 1, John was giving us a picture of the expressions of light in the earth. And in reference to the Christ, he said, for in him was life. And it was that life that became the light of men. So when we seek a recovery of the light of God in the territory, our foundational request must be for the original life. And when that life returns, it is going to become the life or the light of men. So we need to find a cup that after you have made the request, please, I want tea. Your cup must be available so that you can receive. So there is the utterance of asking, and there is also the posture of asking. If you hold your cup like this, nobody serves tea at the back. Are you with me? Good. So there are things that we must do. However, Zechariah says that we must ask for the rain. The revival in scriptures has been likened to the coming of rain, and I'm going to say a few things. That's why I said it's just that one verse. Ask for the rain. The nation of Israel was largely, and still is, largely an agrarian nation. It means they do a lot of agriculture. And their understanding, thank you, and their understanding is that when it is time to come into, to practice that enterprise, they wait for what you call the former rain. Remember that when the land of Israel was chosen by that patriarch Abraham, he was not given the privilege, because he was a peacemaker, to choose good ground. He said to Lot, how many of you remember that story? He said to Lot, now just choose where you want. And the Bible said that Lot chose the portion of the land that looked very lush. The grass there was green. What was left to Abraham was stones. It was a stony ground. The nation of Israel is still like this, but the strength of the blessing has occasioned miracles in their ground. Some of the best farm produce in the world comes from Israel. Amen. So, because the ground is hard, the average Jewish farmer needs two rains to occasion a harvest. Every time God becomes very scarce in the land, what happens to the land is that the land becomes hard. And so the ministry of preachers and teachers and evangelists do not find any strong harvest, because it's like you're trying to plant maize in hard ground. People will hear it, but there will be no transformation. They will hear it, but there will be no narrative of change, because the ground is hard. So what wise men do is to labor for that facility in God which is designed to make the ground soft before they plant. And that facility is referred to in scriptures as the former rain. Somebody say the former rain. So what a Jewish farmer does is that he begins to wait on the former rain. And if you check that verse of scripture that we read, the Bible only says ask for the rain in the time of which rain? It means the former does not need prayers. It will fall by itself. Every time the former rain falls, like doctor was saying, how many of you knew that doctor had been coming to pray on your campus? Okay. So, it was a secret label. What they were doing with those prayers was to download a statement from God, a statement that you didn't need to labor into. What they were trying to fetch with that those prayers was to find seed in the ground. Remember when I first came to your campus, Joy? Was it the first time? The second time? I don't know if you were in that meeting in the sports area. As I was rounding up my session, the Lord began to speak to me. And I announced that in the spirit, I just found out that every 1 square meter in Futa is supposed to be dedicated to God. Every 1 square meter. It means that everywhere you get to in that school, when that school recovers our ordination, will be an altar of prayer. Every one step you take, you'll be stepping on an altar. Now, it look reasonable. Until I went back to my seat, and they have a younger chaplain. They have a chaplain, but the old chaplain also comes. So, I don't know if it's still the current one, comes up with tears in his eyes. And I was wondering, what happened? He said, sir, that exact statement you made about every 1 square meter being an altar of prayer is a 30-year-old statement. He said, 30 years ago, we were 100 level students on this same campus. And as we were praying one night, God said to us that every 1 square meter of this campus should be dedicated to him as an altar of prayer. It was a 30-year utterance that had not found fulfillment, but God had to re-echo it again, that there is a seed in the ground that has not died. He's 30 years under the ground, but he's crying out for a harvest. When we were going back yesterday to my lodging, I was asking how old the school was. If you ask some who have labored on your campus in the past, you will find out that they are not without seed. They were just going through their motions. Like sometimes you are in prayer meeting and God begins to quicken utterances. What God will do about your fellowship, what God will do about your campus, sometimes what God will do about your nation. There was no conscious labor to acquire the seed, because the former rain does not need a man to ask that it comes. It's as though God, through not natural human activity, just sprinkles the former rain. And the sign that the former rain has been sent is that laboring men acquire seed. You know what God will do. The emergence of the prophetic is proof that the former rain has fallen, because now it's time to plant. Many of the seeds that are acquired by the vent of the former rain, they remain in books. Are you with me? They remain as writings. So you were praying one day and God said, this is your family. I will take you from living on salary, and I'm going to give you 10 new streams of income. It's in your book. If you do not know that there is a second rain that needs to be requested of from God, you will live long. And when your children are trying to share your inheritance, they will stumble in my book of prophecies. And they will be wondering why our father or mother died living on a salary, even though there was a promise from God that something was supposed to come. God, you need to have a jotter. A jotter that you bring to prayer meeting every time, so that as God begins to speak, you should even bring it to church all the time. Because it may be the choir that will be singing a song, and there will be an utterance from that song that rests on the house. You will need to put it down, so that when you are handing over, it becomes part of your handover notes. That these are the seeds God gave to us, so the generation can continue to labor. Because many times the generation that received the seed, it's not the generation that will come into the harvest. Amen. So, I just told you that in that agrarian system, there is a former rain, and immediately the former rain falls. In Nigeria, we call it the first rains. When it falls, farmers go to the farm. They begin to make their ridges in expectation that the rains will continue. If they plant at that time and the rains don't come, what happens to their seed? It will burn. Anything that grows because of the former rain without the latter rain will not survive. And so, because the one who goes to farm has expectation, there is a request he must make, so that his efforts in planting seed will not become wasted. So the Bible says that there is a second rain that is required for harvest, and that's what the latter rain is about. So the proof that the latter rain is falling is that the last harvest of God for mankind will be occasioned. It's not just a day of many people in church, even though there will be many people in church. So it's not just a day of evangelistic labors where souls are won or members are brought to church. It's a day when we will see multitudes enter into the labors of the Christ, where we will not just have 2,000 members in church, RCF, Federal Polytechnic, Ado, but we will have 2,000 saviors. Amen. That's the design. But the Bible says it will not happen if we continue with business as usual. Somebody must ask. And like I've come to announce this morning, you must keep asking. When I got to Bomosho in the year 2011, for my first 3 months, I was only sitting in the house. I didn't know what to do, because my last job was a pastor with a church in Lagos, and I was also working as a plant design engineer in an oil and gas company. When I relocated, there was nothing like what I learned in school that was being practiced in the boomer shop. So I was just sitting in the house. I pray, I study, I sleep. Sometimes I watch a movie. And then that was the cycle until the 3rd month, when the Lord told me, I'll give you a job now. And I thought it was going to be a big job, but it was a teaching job. That's how Ronke became my student. So it was a job in a secondary school. And the best that the secondary school could give me for survival was 13,000 naira every month. So I knew that God didn't bring me to that school to make me rich. Are you with me? Every time life for the believer begins to yield results that don't look like what God told you about, you should ask him why. So I knew that being in that school, or being in Ogbomoso at that time, was not about being wealthy. There was another purpose that was attached being there. So I woke up one night and I began to speak to the Lord. Why did you bring me from wealth and bring me into squalor? And you see, when they pay us 13,000, many of the teachers are rejoicing. When they got their first job, they started with 7,000. So now they are on 13,000. It means they are making progress. Some of them have 3 children. I still don't understand how you can raise 3 children with 13,000. When you married, you were earning 7,000. And you opened your eyes, you gave back to 3 children into 7,000. Are you with me? What are you thinking about? Even if they tell you it's time for your wife to get pregnant, you should discourage your wife. But they'll be very happy, and I will cry because my own first salary was 480,000. So how do I come from 480,000 and begin to earn 13,000? I was talking to you yesterday about God working your heart. He will kill everything that will stand in his way. And he can kill it by hardship. So, the Lord said to me, he said, I brought you from the city. I said, I know. He said, so that you can be far from the noise and so that you can be close to me. So my movement from Lagos to Bomoso was first about entrance into accurate spiritual hearing. That there's a sound that ministry is playing in Lagos that will not bring us to the place where we can fully capture God's sounds for this end time harvest that we have in mind, and it will cost a man a fat salary to be able to hear it. Amen. Okay, we're still good. So I now said, so what is my assignment? How do I partner? He said, there are signs of revival that I'll begin to show you in your city. And when those signs are complete, I will deploy you to begin to pray over the nation. What do I do? And that's me trying to acquire the posture of asking. The Lord said to me, can you pray 3 hours every day? I said, I can pray 3 hours every day if you help me. If you help me. Because there's no prayer giant anywhere. Those prayer giants are people who have been helped. Are you with me? Okay. Well, one of the big brain icons is in Redeemed. It's my brother, P. Daniel. If you sit down with P. Daniel, because me and P. Daniel only talk when he has left the stage. We don't do stage. Have you seen us minister together before? Maybe once. Once in the Lord. Once. But we have very strong backstage relationship. When many things have been done, I am that voice that says, go on retreat. Because my assignment in his life is a thermometer. And that's what I do. If you see him asking, if you see Reverend Tolu, he will say, Every other person claps for him. Me, I don't know how to clap for him. I measure. Say, go on retreat. You are still ministering, but the volume or the temperature is running low. Because I can measure by gifting your intensity. If you prayed yesterday and you are leading prayer this morning, I can know if you are better today or yesterday. It's not the sound of prayer. I was raised in God, gifted to be able to sense spiritual intensity. So people can still clap for you, but me, I know you are running dry. If you know how to drive, when fuel finishes in your car doesn't stop. It will first slow down. Are you with me? So, especially if you are going downhill, you have advantage. They will think that the car is still doing well. Until you are about climbing and you stop. There's downhill ministry. Where you are running by gravity. The people want something. So you also are driving it. But when you come towards people who are not willing to receive what you are bringing, if you are low, everybody will know. Are you with me? So I'm saying his strength is a testimony of help. And not that he has found energy. We know ourselves. He's a good man. So, If you want a harvest, you must find the praying posture. And in that praying posture, you will ask of the Lord rain. But you must understand timings. There is such a time in agriculture that is referred to as the time of the latter rain. It means the next event is a harvest. I believe that the next event for your campus is a harvest, because if we begin to query praying people on your campus, they will be able to bring to us the consciousness of many seeds that they are already in possession of. Some of them inherited, some of them personally entered into. That God said that we do this thing. Some sisters who have been praying, there will be seeds that you are already bearing. That God said, this is what the women on our campus will look like. That there will be strong intercessors. That there will be epitomes of purity and morality. That they will be prophets. There's a strong female prophetic unction on your campus. I'm announcing that. Very strong, very strong. The enemy of that prophetic expression is immorality. For some, they are not actively immoral. But you see, the active immorality, that's the physically expressed one, is a fruit. You can be immoral in your mind, that is because of your current company, that you are not showing it. That you are that are trafficking in your spirit. There are things that in your mind, you have already judged them to be your normal. Are you with me? But you can't ask them because, our sister is called, Sister Blessing will come after me. So, you are waiting till you go for youth service, and then you are trusting God that they send you to a quiet bomb state where nobody knows you. How can somebody be tying scarf? How can my skirt be this long? See, when I get there, everything they allow me to do. So when you arrive there, you stay away from church, very far. It won't be that you came into a new expression, it's that it had been in the heart. And that kind of heart posture will stop the flow of divine life. On this campus, your prayer meetings are designed to be prophetic sessions. That if you pray a little, somebody opens up and begins to prophesy. When we start praying now, you will see what I'm saying. You don't want, just pray. If you pray, you will see that God, I'm not praying this morning that God will begin to do new things. It's for another meeting. What we want to ask God is that the seeds that have been planted as utterances, the graces that have been kept in us, will acquire the rain of heaven, and then a harvest will come. What's your name? You don't know half how much you are anointed. You don't know. If your life is exposed to this rain of Zechariah, referred to as the latter rain, it will not be God coming down from heaven to do anything new in your life. It will be God just giving moisture to the seed that he has planted inside you, and you will suddenly be wondering, is this me? Some of you have never prayed for a sick person, so you think the healing unction is not inside you. When your own friend becomes desperately sick and the drugs are not working and there's nobody to pray, you will grab your friend and say, in Jesus' name be healed, and you will see that in a few minutes that person becomes regulated, and then you'll be surprised. Most of the miracles, outstanding miracles I've seen performed in my life, they shocked me too. Tolu, you are like this. What we need is the rain of heaven. But the first thing we must understand is that you cannot pray that rain for that rain at any time. It must be at the time of the latter rain. It must be with the consciousness that a harvest is the next thing that is supposed to happen. If we pray, what will God do? The Bible says God will make bright clouds. It means it's not for you to design the cloud. As long as there is a man to ask in the earth, God will sustain activity in the heavens to put clouds together. And when the clouds come to a place of saturation, That's why I said one prayer point is not enough. If you study geography, you understand how rain is made. That it is from the earth that the sun dries water, right? And when that water goes into our airspace, rain is not far. If you fly in a good plane, if it starts raining, if the pilot does not like rain, he will fly above it. Are you with me? Distance from rain to earth is not more than about 11,000 feet above sea level. And planes fly at 44,000 feet. That as you're about landing, once you enter GSM network range, somebody's calling downstairs that it's raining in Port Harcourt, and you're wondering where until you pass through it. And then you now see the splashes. So what I'm saying is, water must go up, and then it must keep going up until a saturation point is occasioned. In geography, if I remember well, it's referred to as dew point. Am I right? Good. You should know, I learned dew point in 1997. So, 1997. It means some people were not even born that time. So that's what I learned dew point. So, as the water gathers together, the cloud becomes darker with more moisture. And then you see that what God begins to do. I don't have all the time to teach this thing. Because some of the prayers they prayed in Lagos are for here. Some prayers that they are praying in Ghana. Lord, raise a company of saviors in Nigeria. Everything that looks like your promise will come here. Do you know it's travel? When it wants to rain, if you lift up your eyes, you will see some scattered cloud moving towards a zone. It means in the spirit is like the prayers. God is harvesting every prayer that we make for rain. He prays the one that somebody prayed in Port Harcourt, that Lord, I know that in Port Harcourt, what you are raising is prophets. But I perceive that Nigeria needs saviors. It's a mandate that is here. It means that prayer will come from Port Harcourt, and they will join it to here. And then ultimately what happens is that rain falls. But the miracle of this second rain is that the rain is designed to fall on those who prayed and even on those who did not pray. Because the Bible says that God will make bright clouds and will pour them showers upon every check. Every grass of the field. Another translation says upon every blade of the grass. It means the impact of this last outpouring is supposed to be for everyone. It means even those who have not aligned with Jesus on your campus will feel the impact of the rain. So the revival we need is not church based, it's territory based. That because what's your name? That's Peter Daniel's wife's name. Have you? Good. So that when you sit down in your class and you are waiting for the lecturer and you feel stirred in your spirit and all you are doing is praying in tongues under your breath, suddenly somebody will scream in your class. Somebody suddenly an evil spirit will leave the person. Somebody who has been battling with something will begin to weep. That's what a revival looks like. It's not loud praying. It's that God makes his men flames of fire. That you are traveling and you sit down in a bus. And as you begin to fan the flame, you are muttering under your breath. The only thing your neighbors are seeing is your lips moving. They are not hearing the sound. After a while, that whole bus will be engulfed with fire. I remember a testimony that Apostle Arome gave us. He was traveling from Lagos going to the... And he began to mutter like that. And one woman beside him was looking at him. Unknowing to the people in the bus, God was seeking a harvest. After a while, somebody opened his mouth and said, let's pray. You know, if you pray in the bus, you can preach in the bus. So prayer is your sermon access. So this person prayed, but as the person was going to preach, The same woman who was eyeing him announced to him, don't, nobody should preach hell. So he kept quiet. He continued to mutter. And to ensure that everyone in that bus got saved, God decided to take away the covering of one of the occupants of that bus. It was a small baby whose mother was just carrying to go and visit relations. The mother looked at the baby and saw that the baby in her hand had died. My child, everybody began to shout, stop. So the praying man received a communication from God, that child will live again. So he says, don't come down. He just stretched his hand to the back, touched the baby, and commanded the baby to leave. And the baby started breathing. He now said, amen. Now, everybody wanted to listen to the sermon. That's the purpose of power, is to clear the minds of those who live in opposition to the gospel. It's not to entertain ourselves. So we need more power on the street than we need in church. Now somebody just picked a phone call and you're wondering, she's hanging out with loose friends and you're wondering, why are you crying? And you go to the person, why are you crying? Say, they said somebody just fell sick in our house. And you say, can I pray with you? Say prayer. Say, can I pray with you? And you hold hands, you pray, and you tell the person, call home now. And the person calls him, and he said the person is well. If you say, okay, you know, Jesus loves you, would they listen? That's the purpose of power. Those are the things that we see when the latter rain has fallen. That the least of us, according to scriptures, will be as strong as David, as strong as an angel of God, and even as strong as God himself. So the announcement this morning is that what God wants to release on our campus is not executive material. It is everybody's day. That's what happens when the latter rain falls. It falls upon every blade of the grass so that what God has installed in every blade begins to manifest. The prophets, the intercessors, the ones who have been called to the ministry of healing, signs and wonders, the orators, the wise men, that may be all. That every time a problem comes because of the oppressions of the spirit in a particular life, everybody goes in that direction. What shall we do? And then it seemingly looks as though this young man, this young lady has a ready answer to every problem. Some is a wisdom thing. It's a knowledge thing. People who operate in such giftings as the gift of the word of knowledge, the gift can be there. The last time they said receive, you received. But you can live for 50 years and not operate it. You can even die and you will never see the manifestation once. Because impartations only come as seeds. They don't ensure a harvest. So the one who receives an impartation, when he understands that the season of manifestation has come, what they do is to take the posture of Zechariah chapter 10 verse 1 and begin to ask for that final rain that activates what God has placed inside them. In the next few minutes, we'll begin to pray. There are two things that we want to unlock in the territory. One, we want to unlock the gifts of God in men. Two, we want to unlock the gifts of God in the territory. Somebody say in the territory. Okay. Let's use First Chronicles? Yes, let's use 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 32. Let's check. I want us to go and pray. There's something else I wanted to teach. I wanted to give you 6 things that you must begin to do actively. Maybe I'll just list them. If you're interested, you labor into them. 6 things that you must begin to do actively if you want that harvest to come. Because when rain falls, it falls on everything and it makes all kinds of things grow. Are you with me? When that rain falls, the farmer must go back to farm and begin to hoe. Am I right? Good. So First Chronicles 12. It's a common verse of scripture, 32. The Bible says, and of the children of Issachar, can we read together, which were men that had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do, the heads of them were 200, and all their brethren were at their commandment. First Chronicles chapter 12 is actually a compendium of the nature of the men in the army of David. David understood that in the day that Jacob in Genesis 49 blessed his children, he blessed them to be different things. Are you with me? So if you have time, you study Genesis 49. The Bible said that Jacob gathered his sons together to bless them, and in blessing he was to tell them what will befall them. So anything he said he will become is what he will become. One of the strengths of that prophetic labor was to choose by the prophetic what tribe that Jesus will come from. He looked at Judah and he said to Judah, after calling him a lion whelp, he said to him, he said, the scepter shall not depart from Judah. That was how Judah became a kingly tribe. Nor the lawgiver from between his knees, he said, until Shiloh comes. The word Shiloh there means him to whom it belongs. What he was saying is that there will be earthly kings until ultimately the spiritual one to whom that throne belongs will come. So it was a prophecy that there will be kings and kings and kings, and then the eternal king will come and inherit the throne. That's how strong his prophetic utterance was. But do you know that when he was prophesying, he prophesied to only 12 men, right? Or maybe 13, Ephraim and Manasseh. Those 12 men became families. Am I right? Then they became clans. Then they became tribes. And when they entered the promised land, what did they become? They became territories. So you can, this is the land of Zebulun. This is the land of Naphtali. But the utterances that those individual men embodied began to impact on the territory. The Bible says that when David was selecting his soldiers, all of the soldiers, and I've read through 1 Chronicles 12 before, all of them were fighting men. There were those who could use arrows, there were those who could use spears, there were swordsmen. There were also men who could work with heavy metals. They just have a ball, like, you know what discus looks like? They have discus with chain on it, that when their enemies are coming, they just roll the thing around and smash heads. But there was a tribe that was a no-fighting tribe. It was a tribe of Issachar. The Bible said that this young man, the advantage they brought to the army of Israel was that they understood times. So they may not be fellowship leaders, but when the fellowship leader brings an emphasis that now we're praying so that we can all buy cars, they have the ability to go into the mind of God to know if the burden for this season is to buy vehicles. And then when they come, they say, we know that God wants us to buy vehicles, but this is not a day to buy vehicles. Today, we're supposed to pursue after this thing. Are you with me? That's the advantage. So that even though Israel is arrayed in battle, they can say, don't fight today. Let's strike the enemy at dawn. Of the children of Issachar who had an understanding of the times. What is that when the children of Issachar became the tribe of Issachar and they received in the promised land an allocation? Every time you want to know what time it is in the spirit, what do? You go to the land of Issachar. Anyone that is still connected to God in that land will be able to tell you what time it is. In that day that Elijah was to prophesy so that the king of Israel, king of Judah, and king of Edom could go out in battle against the king of Moab, because he was angry with one of those kings, his prophetic flow was jammed. So he requested for a mixture. Now, if you check that verse of scripture, he did not say, bring me the mixture. What did he say? What does a mixture mean? It means it's like a family. Anyone you meet at home amongst them, just bring me. He can transport me into God. So the energy of a mixture is not sound. The energy of a mixture is transport. It has the ability to unlock realms so that people can begin to fellowship with God at deeper dimensions. Its sound is like a vehicle. When it starts it, we enter it. We now start traveling. Amen. I'm checking my time. Okay. This is where I want to tell it out before I list those six things and then we begin to ask for the rain. Every campus, okay, let me put it this way. The agenda of God for the last day revival globally has been placed on the shoulder of one nation. And I'm not saying I'm in Nigeria. We have been privileged to be that nation upon whose shoulder God has placed this last day revival. Many of you will be given the privilege to travel out of the country. Don't believe me. But people who hear me know that this is how I say. I don't know how to say. Don't say the Lord. No. I can gist you into the prophetic. I'm saying that many of you will be given the privilege. Many of you in the building this morning. Will be cheaply. It means you won't sweat. If there's sweat there, don't bother. We'll be chiefly gifted the privilege to travel out of this country to Europe, to Asia, to North and South America. But it will be for a purpose. It will be because the last day revival has been placed on your shoulder. So it's an engineering scholarship that you will have to go and study, maybe in Denmark, for example. But understand that underneath the engineering garment is a savior. Are you with me? So when you get to, and you will not be too engrossed in your engineering labors, you will understand that there is a life that God wants you to bring to that nation. One of my friends just came back from Netherlands. Well, she's still there, one of our family friends. And she was telling us that in Netherlands, that's Holland, if you see a man, or a man tells you, maybe AY tells me, to go to Raphael, say, go to him and tell him, I told you to meet him. When I get to Raphael, what am I supposed to say? Say, sir, am I right? He told me to come. That in Netherlands, you can't say he told me. Because you don't know what gender AY is. So you need to be using names that AY said, and you keep saying AY, because if you call a he, who in his mind has become a she, if you call him he, you can be jailed. So while you are speaking to people, one of the foundational things you must establish is what gender. That, oh, this is the shape of a woman. No, ask how. It's for that purpose that God will send some people out. That they go back as saviors to restore God's definition along the lines of gender persuasions. To restore God's definition around church. If you know what church looks like abroad, you will weep. I keep telling people, this nation is one of the safest places in the world to grow spiritual life. We have dedicated meetings in Ogbomoso when we pray for our brethren in the diaspora. Some of them, when they listen to our sermons, they tell us what is keeping them alive is that they will connect on a Tuesday evening, on a Sunday evening. Outside that, there's no nourishment. I'm saying that the last day revival has been placed on the shoulders of our nation. That's why our nation is this troubled. The enemy knows what is coming. That is not about another politician. It's to keep the church on their toes so that the church will not be able to do what she's supposed to do. To keep her living in fear. To keep her living in doubt. To keep her begin to seek things that are outside God. So the average young minister is thinking more about survival than expanding the kingdom. He just wants to make money. He just wants to make money. And many times he makes money at the expense of his soul. That's why we're here. Unfortunately, from campus, these strange things have bedeviled the generation. The unsaved world is setting the standard. Our town is like the hub for Yahoo boys. So there's barely any, there's no kind of exotic car that we will not see on our streets. And they are not being driven by hardworking men. So it's possible that a minister comes up in Ogbomoso and he spends all his life trying to outdo a Yahoo boy. Now, how can a Yahoo boy be driving this kind of car? And they used to preach to us that, you know, if men are going to the herbalist and the herbalist can give that thing, God can give you a bigger car. Forgetting that the edge that our fathers had at the beautiful gate was not such as they had, but such as we have. It means there is a signature that the believer has that the world cannot have. We are not in comparison. I can't wear the shoes that the Yahoo boy is wearing. If he wears better shoes, it doesn't mean that he's better than me. When he runs mad, we will know if he's better. That's my edge. That when they bring them and it cheaply, you just say, go home. Say he's still mad. Say he can't be mad. Just get up. And then his head is correct. And they come back the following day and come with bundles of money to say thank you. Look at them and say, we can't spend your money. And we keep working. Not because we have enough, but because we have learned contentment. Are you with me? I have pastored in that town. Next year, February, it will be 10 years. And I still said it last week, Sunday, that if any Yahoo boy has given me 1 naira in 10 years, let him go on social media to see it. I won't spend the devil's money. I have taken an oath of poverty that I would rather be poor than spend what comes from darkness. If Jesus wants me to keep serving him and be poor, I agree. I know that's not a plan, but So, because revival rests on our shoulders, you must understand also that revival was not designed for Nigeria to happen in churches. Revival was designed to happen in higher institution campuses. The organized church will receive it last. If it does not happen, look at all the church fathers in Nigeria. Everybody took their flames from a campus. All of them. Universities, polytechnics, people like Bishop Oyedepo were polytechnic people. Warapoli. Every one of them took their flames from campuses. Even Pastor W.F. Kumuyi, even Baba Adeboye. All of them were harvested from universities and sent out. God has not changed his mind. It will still be from universities and polytechnics that God will begin these revival flames, and then the rest of the organized church will come into it. The new of God is currently in universities and polytechnics. It's not on the field. It means that if you do not manage your stay here very well and understand that the public cry that a revival is coming is to tell those of you in school that there's a burden on your shoulders to bat something before you leave, then it means that another generation will waste. Certain seeds will be burnt into the ground because you did not know how to ask God for the latter rain, and it will be because you do not understand the season that you are in, that you cannot live your life casually. All of us outside there are waiting on God for what will happen on campus. That's why we spend our lives every week. Now I do like 3 or 4 conferences every week. It means my wife sees me only an average of 2 days every week. And if I give you my itinerary to the end of the year, you will need to call my wife and say, well, why did you marry this kind of person? The reason is because we understand that a harvest is about to waste. The labors of our heroes pass like it's in our national anthem. It's about to be in vain. All of our fathers have become old, and there is no replacement generation. Because in 2019, the 40-year cycle of the revival in Nigeria was completed. We run a 40-year cycle. The last of revivals were in the 1978, 1979. It produced all of our fathers in the nation. Now we have entered into another one. What we have is loudness. There's no essence. If you want to check, compare those who were saved in 1979 to 1995 with those who are being saved now. You know that the people now are shallow. No labor in purity. No consecration. They are not sanctified people. They know how to pray and pray loud, but there's no impact. Are you with me? I'm trying to make you know that you are in a strategic place and you cannot afford to fail. The seed has been planted and you are the new laborers in the field. So what God has done to occasion to ensure that the labors of the revival are well distributed is that he has allocated to every campus a fragrance that they are supposed to bring. So Exu has a contribution like one of the tribes of Israel. Federal Poly Adoekiti also has a contribution. The school opposite you, Babalola University, also has a contribution. Ekiti State has been allocated a fragrance to contribute in the community of higher institutions that will make that revival come. And what God has done is to divide the essence, the fragrance from Ekiti State to different campuses. So some campuses are going to contribute prayers. And I believe that there are two things your campus is supposed to contribute. It is the strength of the prophetic and the strong energies of prayers from here. I believe that what Exu has been gifted is actually the revelation of the word. It's their contribution. That as we are praying here, the word is being released. So that we find out that ultimately, can you please celebrate, my brother? God bless you, sir. Good morning, sir. So, I was speaking about the essence of higher institutions in the batting of the revival. That a state-to-state allocation of fragrance. By fragrance, when you spray your perfume, right? You can smell the fragrance. The next time you pick your perfume bottle, you need to check. You will find out that fragrance was not put together by one ingredient. Are you with me? So, there are at least about 37 different fragrance combinations that God has spread across the 36 states and the FCT to ensure that a sound, a move of God is perfected on higher institution campuses and in every state to make up for your own fragrance in that state. Every campus is allocated their own fragrance. So that when we mix those things together, Ekiti State raises up an offering before God to say, this is our own contribution, waiting for Osu State to connect to Union Osu and OAU and all of their colleges of education and polytechnics together. They do their own mix. And then we see 37 fragrances rising up to God, and then the flames of heaven begin to fall everywhere. You cannot be slack in this day. Based on my labors into the night and this morning, I found out that those are two of your allocations. There may be more. That from this place, incense in prayers will rise up permanently until the flames come. It means there must be people who will find prayer and stay there. To fellowship or to fuel that sustained prayer, a very strong, pure prophetic essence has been allocated to your campus. It's not a prophetic expression that manages the things of men. is one that has gained mastery of the things of God. It's not about calling numbers in a meeting. It's not about telling people what they know. It's about exposing the territory to the things that God has locked into her so that she can play her part. Without your campus, what God is doing across campuses in the nation cannot be complete. It means if you are slack here, you defraud the rest. Because if a contribution is missing, it means that the fragrance ultimately will not smell like it's supposed to smell. The setback that we see in the occasioning of the revival is not because God is not willing. It's that there are certain territories that have not labored into their contribution. And so every other one is waiting. And the longer they wait, the more decayed what has been contributed is. So the Bible says when you sense the season, that harvest is ahead, what you do is to ask for the rain. In the time of the latter rain, the rain that occasions the harvest, and when you ask, what God will do is that he will make bright clouds and he will pour showers upon every blade of the grass. Six things that we need to labor into. I'll just run a list. As we begin to pray, in posturing ourselves for that final outpouring, there are six stones or six pillars that must be operational. First is that we must labor into the recovery of the word. The recovery of the word. I don't have all the time to teach it because I'm just like 7 minutes away from prayers. The recovery of the word. Why? Until the word of God is found, the intentions of God cannot be accurately known. The prophetic gives us the gift of the perception of what God wants to do. The word of God establishes our prophetic receptions as legitimate. That, what I received in the spirit, God wants to do. Two, is that the word of God also reveals to us our current state. It's an appraisal tool. It tells us how slack we have become. It tells us how misaligned we have become. It tells us how unlike the expectation of God we have become. The word of God. And every time the word of God begins to function like that, it means we must teach the word. We must preach the word. In preaching, we declare it. In teaching, we labor with what has been declared so that people can come into understanding. We must meditate upon the word so that line upon line, precept on precept can find revelation in the word of God. We must discuss the word. Our communications among ourselves must be captured in the word. In this season, we cannot be frivolous with speech. We want something. We must listen to the word. So it mustn't just be church. We must look for accurate messages. And like I was sharing with them this morning, if you have not been studying your Bible well, don't listen to anybody's message. Are you with me? Because if you listen to people's messages and you have not been studying your Bible well, the error can be smuggled into you. Unfortunately, people think that error is a teaching. No, error is a spirit. One of the fruits of the spirit of error is the teaching of error. There are people who don't teach error, but their lives are already in error. So there are more fruits that come out of the manifestation of that spirit than they teach it. Some people don't have the privilege to teach, but their life is wrong. Are you with me? So until you have started studying your scripture, so that everything you hear, like the Berean Christians, you can go to check. And if it's wrong, you shut down on that stream and you trust God for an allocated stream. If we stay with the word, we will have less excited people in church. It will open us up to the second stone, which is the recovery of brokenness. The larger percentage of people in church are not broken. There is no conviction. And as we pray this morning, we're also going to be asking God that spiritual essence that produces conviction when ministers speak will be restored back on your campus. That when people speak and say, this is what God wants us to do, it will make people cry in repentance. That's what we want to see. The second stone is the stone of brokenness, where the word of the Lord begins to function in that twofold function as a hammer that breaketh to pieces and as a fire that burns irrecoverably. Three, for time's sake, is the recovery of prayer. When we have listened to the word and we have arrived in a place of brokenness, we will know what his purity that is missing. Oh, his righteousness that is missing. Oh, his submission to God that is missing. And then those things that we know are missing become the subject of our labors in prayer for recovery. If we labor well, a fourth stone will emerge, and it will be the stone of purity. No man truly prays and stays impure. Yes. You are not asking God in the prayer to purify you, but prayer has a temperature generation reality that it burns off even the things that you don't bring up. Are you with me? So if you find any man who has been praying and is still living an impure life without conviction, it's not prayer he has been doing. We see the recovery of purity. That's four. Five, which many times to make number one, is the recovery of unity. Somebody say unity. What God wants to do in Federal Poly Adjudicate cannot be fully stewarded by RCF. But for now, until you journey that far, you will not know why you need MFM. You will not know why you need CAC. I was sharing with someone yesterday, also in the bus, when I was coming, how that each of these our church groups are strains in the revival. If Satan is chasing you, if your problem is a demonic problem, you may need to go to an MFM church. They are masters of demonic or anti-demonic expressions. But it's possible that if the person in MFM is locked into MFM, there will be issues in his life that are not demonic issues. He will still be trying to solve them from a demonic standpoint. He may need to go into living faith to understand that there are also faith solutions. Are you with me? Or come into the Redeemed Church and understand that the concept of holiness and righteousness also establishes a man in the doings of God. Are you with me? If you grew up in a flamboyant Pentecostal church, name withheld, there are some prayer points you will never pray until you enter a CAC church. Sir, some of us who are doctrinally inclined, when we go to CAC and they raise prayer points, we collide doctrine. And when they raised the prayer point, I was fighting. The Holy Ghost said to me, young man, pray. When I was going home, he said, one of the reasons why I brought you here was not just minister, it's that prayer. Because in your own room, you will never pray those prayers. So I allowed them to raise these prayers to cause strange, because you need interventions along that line. And if you go to deeper life, they will wear you out with holiness unto the Lord. They'll make you feel that every problem is a holiness problem, including if you are not passing your exams. Some people will say, no, it's extreme. No. It is that without the other streams, those streams don't find balance. That's why when we come from prayers and we come into purity, your heart will be clear towards your brethren, and it will be easy to fellowship with them, knowing that every joint must supply, so the flames of heaven will fall. When purity has been ensured, the most dangerous stone comes into place. It's that God begins to appraise men, and places, people's places are taken. I have scriptures for all of these things. And I can convince you that the last stone that was put in place before Acts chapter 2 happened was that replacement was carried out. There is such things as a quorum in God. It means that there is a numbering system for every outpouring. And until the last man is completed, God will not come. So if you are praying alone and God wants 50 praying men, sometimes it will burden you to ask that we send more laborers. Because there are things that God does not give until the quorum is fulfilled. Pentecost was designed to be occasioned by 12 disciples. And because one of them had become strange, they would have to keep praying until Peter stood up by the inspiration of the Spirit to say, one man is missing. We know the prophecy that his habitation is supposed to be desolate. It means his place in Christ will not be occupied. You can't take a man's place in Christ. But his bishopric, the office that he was sent to occupy, needs to be occupied so that we can be 12. And then they began to choose by the Holy Ghost, and a new name showed up by Matthias. After these protocols were completed, they were together. And they were in one accord. And as they began to pray, in the season of the completed quorum, a sound came from heaven. So when you see the church gravitating towards unity, begin to check your life. Because it means some faces that we thought were going to be the ones will be exchanged. And then nameless men, faceless men will be captured in the agenda of God. Men who have followed from the beginning, but who were not given an opportunity to lead. Can I say this? We may not have known those who will lead the move of God on your campus. They may not even be in prayer department. Many times my eyes is always on the ushering and the sanctuary cleaning unit. Because when you walk into the toilet sometimes and hear how some sisters worship, you think that they should be in the choir. Are you with me? How some of them are washing the toilet and they are running in tongues. You understand that they are praying in a presence. Some of those weights of the presence you don't see on the altar. It means that there is a work that God is doing that men have not seen. And in the day of replacements, they may be the ones who will be running at the forefront. That's why we need to pray. How many have I mentioned? Six. The word, brokenness, prayer, purity, unity, and the fulfillment of quorums. A season of replacement. Six. It is after these things have happened, after the order of scriptures, that God now begins to administer the flames of heaven. We have just 20 to 25 minutes to pray, and we're done. Now we want to go to the Lord and approach. When doctors spoke to us yesterday, he communicated seed to us. They began to pray because they sensed that it was time to begin to plant in the land. Their utterances were provoked by the sending of the former rain. And like I said to us, the former rain is the signal that is planting time. The proof that the former rain has come is that God begins by the instrumentality of the prophetic to communicate his agenda. This is what I want to do. This is what I want to do. And he showed us one of those seeds, that the theme of your conference actually sits in an utterance that came a few years ago. Are you with me? Now we are in the season of a harvest. It was spoken to a few, but it is designed to be manifested true men. What we need to do is to now place on God the demand for the rain that converts seed to harvest. Ask of the Lord rain in the time of latter rain, the harvest sensitive rain. That's what we want to ask. Is this second rain of the rise of saviors? So you can take any prayer posture, and for the next 7 minutes we are asking that God will send us that outpouring that will occasion the margin of saviors. You can begin to pray.
Bioka komiso verando soska taka bove vuka dati ataka membo salo kave mo palasko firiata vando enko fasuka pavata kiba mo ke kabae. We came in the similitude of the children of Issachar. We came furnished with an understanding of the times that the seeds are now in pole position to become a harvest. That across this land, a company of saviors will begin to find expression. Men, women, young and old. Not just among the students, but even in this amongst staff. So we lift up our voice to the King of Heaven. You are the bringer of rain, and we ask for an outpouring. Oh, kambo semomo kata lekapoto kanteiza mitobrande rakopa sate kobata kadia bante vatabi kompate ekwate teiria kapata tata. We ask for the rain. Pour out your spirit. Pinkatando kemo mante kita kapataya. Let the seeds live again. Let that which you have invested in men, let that which you have invested in the territory, begin to find expression by the giving of the rain of heaven. Oh, sata memoto pateto sante batetaria bratate tevatai. You can begin for me, somebody saying, rain on me. Rain on me. Seno katindi atela beke takaka rendindo tutata satinate raton somimba batetata mifandi ato. Oh, kapabi grade seito, let it settle on my life. Lebrasita bayate, let that which has begun to dry, let it live again. Ayasade bebabariata lahaya, I copay, ikakami podokoto katata, arata kapi popote, esate tate barata datoria tatama. Oh, let it live. Let it live. Let the graces that we bear in our spirits, let the graces that were allocated to the land for such a time as this begin to surge in expression by the instrumentality of the rain of heaven. Oh, katimode sino kote katebondi atumaka. I bobi sasila bate rekoto komadena fante de mate bavidia ti fante no ekoto kembosita ki alatata akaka mimbolia brante sade baria akata pelan wate somi evene bante ya barate kokama. In Jesus name we are prayed.
Was he praying? We still have about 3 minutes there about to pray that prayer. But let me show you a verse of scripture. Genesis chapter 2. And we can read from verse 4. I'll read from here. Genesis chapter 2. And verse 4. Oh, help me. Genesis. Holy Ghost. 2. Yeah. The Bible says these are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created. In the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. Verse 5. And every plant of the field
before it was in the earth. It means there was a creation that God had put in place for vegetation. However, the Bible also says, and every herb of the field before it grew, their creations have been perfected, but their manifestations were restrained. Why? For the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. So the rain was not withheld because God was not intent on bringing rain. It was that every time the bringer of rain came to spy, there was no man to walk the ground. So God began to administer another reality, so that when you show up in the land, you cannot totally say God is not here, but you cannot say God is fully here. Verse 6, the Bible says, but there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. So if you looked around, what we see is grasses, because mist can sustain grasses, but it can't grow trees. And then grasses don't have a destiny in bearing fruit. Only trees can. It means there are certain fruits you will not see until God comes to take attendance, and he finds men who can till the ground. We want to plead with him. Can you begin to do a work in me, Holy Spirit, so that your search will end in me? I cannot be here and you are still looking for a man. Let my expressions in this land occasion descend of rain. Let my life give you a reason to bring rain. Let my life give you a reason to bring rain. Oh, inside. Let the formation of the Spirit occasion the rise of a company of saviors. Oh, insist on me. Insist on me. Let my life give you a reason. Beretole akasita akakape moma mapekatata akwati barato koko ekako pepata aikatata bakapari atata etopa bi barate sasisata ayasise sesefe bata pato vasata etakida tatata ipape agagaga bakota erakake komo potole ilenda da kitosa kabos e kapuluta ti atapa farata ave faisa sada baba baba ti tatato e tua tetoriata leta posa fatata tapi fesero retete someteta antenta peya rate koto tako rate parasaba kakata atopera kwa kapato mahe akimba bigosa fete plast picata feta picata scopata varakate pica vasante penda vitaya pica sode kamimota. The formations of the Spirit producing a company of saviors. Oh, insist on me. Holy Ghost, insist on me. Insist, insist, insist. What you did in Genesis chapter 2 verse 7 was to begin to form a man. I am immortal, dadadakaya. Let the gates of formations, the gates that bring in the formations of the Spirit, let them begin to open over the land.
across campus fellowships. Ali Mohoka Ite Mohokaba. Oh Jesus. Oh Jesus. Lilama Kotema Maiki Mato. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we are prayed. Our time is up. We have just 10 minutes to go. Genesis 2:7. How does God solve the problem of the scarcity of men? 2:7. Help me. We are not. The Bible says, and the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground. There was a plane upon which God wanted to see his intentions fulfilled. It was from that same plane that he formed man. The problem was about things growing out of the ground as intended. What God did was to go into that same ground. It means that the recovery of every territory is within the territory. God, we need to choose amongst you and invest his strength inside you. It has to be you. Our assignment is just to come and cause a stirring. Men have to lay hold of the horns of the altar and say, Lord, now I understand why I came here. I could have been a candidate of Unilag. I could have been in OAU. It may have been the University of Ontario. You were on your way to Canada and Jesus brought you here for such a time like this. From here. Amen. The Bible did not say God chose. The Bible says God formed. And in formation, what we do is that we mix ingredients together. It is a matchup of that which is physical and that which is spiritual. It means that the formation season is a mingling season, when God mingles men with spiritual essences so that ordinary men can become enabled men. We'll pray for 3 minutes and then we'll trust God for a shower. We want to ask God, Father, whatever graces, and when I speak of graces, I mean supernatural abilities that we need to come into so that we can partner with you for the rain, I receive this morning. Whatever is required, I receive this morning. Whatever anointings that are supposed to be available to partner with you, we receive them. It's a formation season. It's a mingling season. Man was a fellow, emerged as a fellowship of the dust and the breath of God. So da da ya da nam. Imo kate di montele santa bahade. Iga go makademo. Tenka kila sime mota. Oh, let there be a mingling this morning. That which is heavenly with that which is earthly, that man may stand. Hey, agangomo. Saya komenave. I boka yamo seneliat. Isaya kaile mote. Abinomenenanat. Asoteni makabanate. Ah, bimbrako sizolene kaya. Obia sata kielata. Inka kande mat. Ranta masolane. Oh, masolemane. Ranta masolemane. Iatane mamia katonde sate. Minko. This is in the spirit with men. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we are praying. Okay, quickly. Listen. So, Father, there are 6 levels of partnership that you want us to engage so that men can contribute to what you require. The first and the third are designed to be embodied by individuals. So we ask of you this morning, speaking of the graces that grant entrance into scriptures, many of us are not, we are not schooled formally in your word. It was by your breath that scriptures found unlocking. I ask that such as we have received freely of you, not just for those here, but on this campus, let the graces that give access into scriptures be released this morning. We also need, Lord, men who will consistently pray. So there is a gifting that enables for staying power in the place of prayer. We also ask of you that this morning there will be a release. No prayer movement thrives without the gifts of the prophetic. So we ask of you, Father, that there will be an unlocking of the prophetic gates upon this campus. For those in this building and outside this building, let the gates be open. Prayer does not really begin to impact until a company of priests, men who by the understanding of the protocols of the spirit realm can bring God into the land as a permanent resident. I ask that the oil that makes for priesthood will be released over the campus. Oh, we thank you, Father. So, these four cardinal things that we have spoken about, I want to plead with you, Holy Spirit, that in the few minutes that we have, you will begin from my right to my left, from the front to the back, to sprinkle them. Send us the oil. Send us the oil makes for the accurate teaching of God's word. There are the stirrings of error on the campus. Stirrings of error. And the answer of God in the day that error rises is a company of accurate teachers. I ask, oh God, that as I begin to count from 1 to 10, that oil will begin to drop on some of us. The oil of the intercessor this morning upon some of us in the name of Jesus. Oh, thank you, Father. The oil of the priest in the name of Jesus. The oil of the prophet in the name of Jesus. It has been seriously said that God does not move without a sound. So we also ask for the oil of psalmists. Yana no kisha dakata. Beri vohadi setokida somi vihanka dodia. Lefos ekina brahi kote dasha. Thank you for answering. In Jesus' name. So from my right to my left, from the front to the back, Holy Ghost, help me find them and dump these graces upon your people. Help us. You can begin with the oil for intercession. And help us find those individuals. Let there be deposits. Let there be deposits. Let there be deposits. Then you can go to the oil of the teachers. I kosa baravi keto and ponsen bika batada. Oh, mahide bakitas. The oil that makes for the accurate defense of truth. The accurate defense of truth. Jesus. Shikabara de kakote kateya sita. The oil of the priest. Man with understanding of the dynamics of the spirit realm. Holy Ghost, move now. Move now. Move now. Move now. the oil of the minstrels, of the psalmists, that the sounds of heaven are heard. I kasabera teda inana kete te poketade. Woo! Kemo kate sate papatad. Let your hand be stronger. Holy Ghost, one. Yes, come stronger now. Two, three. Holy Ghost, four, five. All over the building. Six, seven, eight, nine, ten. Yes, help me find my brothers. Help me find my sisters and rest upon them. Rest, rest upon them. Rest upon them. Rest upon them. Rest upon them. In the name of Jesus. Ah, Bosanale Taiba, the Aminobre Seteas. Show us the prophets. Show us the prophets. Show us the prophets. Let the oil for the prophetic rest upon them. Let it rest upon them. Hold. There are about six prophetic voices in the building. Now the oil begins to visit. And it overwhelms. It overwhelms. In Jesus' name we are prayed. Amen. 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 Now these prophets, the Lord is saying to me that all of them will bear a two-badge garment. Everyone in this building that is allocated the expressions in the prophetic is also being gifted prayer stamina. So Jesus, show me who these six prophets are so that I can be done this morning. Cause your hand to rest upon them. Let them prophesy by the supplies of your spirit. One, Holy Ghost, show me. Two, Holy Spirit. Three, four, five, six. Now you can begin to play. He will touch them. Find them and 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 touch them. Holy Ghost, move now. Ushers, as the hand of the Lord begins to rest upon these ones, bring them to me. So bring that one. There are five other individuals, and the hand of the Lord becomes strong upon them. The hand of the Lord becomes strong upon them. The hand of the Lord becomes strong upon them. Oh, Zimo Kapivata, Bembo Savino, Escadino Teliaki Sate. Oh, Jesus. 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 Oh, Kate Sotadia. Monaikia Kishute, Epokonite to Pondria Tamosa, Ave no Tetai, Brantetos Kahai. Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost. Help me bring her. Prayer, stamina, prayer, stamina, prophetic expressions. Jesus, Shaleno te kedidata, recordimo sai tu cabe, revenal te die, ascabino se zutas. Jesus. Father. Let the balance of supplies for this meeting be released. Let it rest upon your people. The balance of supplies, the balance of supplies. All kinds of spirit giftings, the working of miracles, the healing gifts, oh God, in this place, that your witness will be restored and truly a company of saviors will emerge. We thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Okay. So, if somebody is still praying beside you, just stop them. Just stop them. Our time is over. Father, you are faithful. I ask that these formations will continue until we all come into that plane where we become your men in the territory. Let them continue. Let them continue. Let them continue. In Jesus' name we have prayed.